The reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 39. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for all the hope that it offers to us. And we pray that your spirit may be here with us now, speaking through it. Amen. Sometimes when you read the Bible, or when you listen to sermons, or even listen to what other people may say about you or your gifts, it can feel like a little bit of information overload. And you're left with a kind of a sense of not knowing what to do, or feeling like the task is too big. You don't know where to start. Well, this morning, what I want us to do is almost forget everything else you've been told. Because we're going to go back to the basics. The title of this sermon is, which if you now you've just read the collects from the notice sheet, you'll see the title underneath that. The title is We Are. We Are. And what I want to do is look at three things coming out of this passage today that I believe we are. Three basic truths that we've always got to hold on to. Sometimes it's easy to think, God, where are you? How can this situation be used for your glory? And yet these three things I want us to look at today, they never change, no matter what the situation is. So those three things, I'll tell you now, they are, we are witnesses, we are transformed, we are in Christ alone. Those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. So we are witnesses. If you cast your mind back to the last time I spoke 3 weeks ago, for those who were here, you'll remember it was from Luke 24. And I was particularly talking about God in the ordinary, God working in our everyday ordinary lives and making it extraordinary. And in that passage, we saw Jesus appearing to the disciples and asking them for something to eat, before then opening their minds so they could understand the scripture. And then at the end of that passage, if you remember, what did Jesus say? He said to those disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." And I also mentioned last time that Acts is kind of like the second part of Luke's gospel. And so fast forward into Acts, 10 chapters in, to where the passage we are today. And we find Peter in the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And what happens? Well, Cornelius invited Peter to come and eat. Already we're beginning to get flashbacks, aren't we, to Jesus eating with his disciples. And I think Peter must have remembered that, because what is it that Peter says? he says in verse 41, he said that we ate and drank with him after he had risen from the dead. See, Peter gives the reason Peter gives to why Cornelius should believe what he is saying is because it is personal testimony. Peter saw it with his own eyes. It is not because God said so. It is not because the Old Testament said this would happen. It's not because Jesus is stood there next to Peter. It is because Peter saw it with his own eyes. When being a witness, personal testimony is everything, isn't it? I mean, imagine for a minute in a court of law, if a witness is called to a crime, is called forward to give their testimony. And after taking the oath and he's being questioned, he admits, well, I didn't see it, but my mate John saw it. That testimony is useless in court. It's personal testimony, and witnessing it for yourself is everything. Peter's testimony comes after Cornelius' own testimony of what God has already done in his own life by the man appearing at Cornelius' door and saying, go, send for Peter. Send for him. Get him. Ask him to come and eat with you. Sharing our testimonies with each other enables others to see God at work in their own lives. And it encourages us that God is at work. And then it carries with it a powerful witness that forces people to decide, well, what do you think about what I've shared with you? You've got a decision to make. So we are witnesses. The second thing, we are transformed. Verse 44 in the passage tells us that while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. How do we know they were transformed by this? Well, because it tells us that they began speaking in tongues and praising God. This was something very different to what they had done before. It's important to recognize in the Gospels that they are transformed. That everyone you get the stories about, their lives are changed as a result of an encounter with God. But it's not by the words necessarily, or by the extra knowledge that they now possess. Think how many times the disciples, it tells us, did not understand. But it's because of the Holy Spirit transforming them, the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. You see, it's about transformation, not information. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of you and to change you. Think for a minute of some of the people we come across in the Bible. Peter, he's a humble fisherman, but he's made a fisher of men. Luke changes from his focus on physical healing as a doctor to spiritual healing and relationship with God. Matthew, from being a tax collector, giving the money to the Romans, seen by many Jews as the enemy, to sharing everything he had with the believers. Paul, the writer of Acts, goes from being one of the biggest persecutors of the Christian faith to possibly one of the most persecuted Christians ever. The Holy Spirit works inside us to change us, to transform us, not to simply come along to a church service and sing nice songs, but to live a life that gives glory to God, to be partakers in the building up of God's kingdom here on earth. I said personal testimony is a powerful thing, so I thought I would share my own with you as evidence for transformation. This isn't the first time I've moved to this area. I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in a church, and I'm very grateful to my parents for that, for getting the foundation of those stories throughout my childhood. But when I was 18, I came to Keele University, and I searched around for a church to go to. And no one would speak to me. And I struggled with that. And at the same time, the sports groups really spoke to me and really made me feel welcome. So I left church behind and I started getting involved in their culture instead. But about a year and a half in, it got me into a bit of a mess. And I found myself living in a house where it was just awful. Absolutely awful. You just couldn't imagine how you're getting through a day. The tension, the arguments, it was awful. So I started drinking a lot because of the culture I was used to. That's the only thing that I thought I could do. So I started having counselling for drinking. I dropped out of the year because I couldn't face the exams that were coming up. I knew I would fail them. That was my life back in 2000, at the start of 2000. The thing that pushed it over the edge was when I found out my dad got Parkinson's. And that, coupled with the house I found myself living in and the arguments, I didn't know what to do anymore. And then one day, I just thought, I've got to get out. I had a car, so I jumped in my car and I drove. And I drove. And I ended up, I now know it's Madeley, up the road. And I pulled up on this road and I thought, I can't drive anymore. So I started walking. And I walked through this estate and I cut through this little gap in the houses. And right there in front of me was a church. All those stories from my childhood came back to me. And I felt God say, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I walked around this church for a bit. And then eventually I felt God say, reach out, touch the building. And I thought, that's ridiculous. And then I felt it again, just do it. So I did. I reached out, I touched the church building. Everything suddenly felt different. I felt calm, I felt at peace. Now nothing had changed, but I felt at peace. So I managed to find my car. I went back to the house. I won't give you the whole story, but within 2 hours of that happening, the house was transformed. The situation had changed. To the point where one of the housemates who was living with us, who never went to church in her life, said, it's a miracle. I said, yes, it is. God transforms us. But it wasn't just for my sake. I knew that when I reached out, that I had to do something for God. And that was the difference between growing up in church, where I just went along to it and just sat in the services. This time, I knew, no, I've got to do something back. And everything was different from that moment onwards. And now here I stand with a dog collar. The first thing I did was I went off to Africa. I thought, I have to do something for God because he's just been so good to me. So I looked around for ages and ended up going out to Africa for 3.5 weeks on a mission. And it was just incredible. And you know the thing that I discovered? The more I tried to do for God, the more God blessed me. The more I tried to do for God, the closer I felt to God. It was amazing. Look at King David in the Old Testament. He was a great king, but it wasn't because he was perfect. Far from it. He made mistakes. But it was because he was a man after God's own heart. It's what you're trying to do that's important. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to come in to transform our hearts and change our lives, change what drives us. So that's the second one. We are transformed. The third one, we are in Christ alone. Now this seems rather an obvious thing to say, doesn't it? But look at what Peter says in verse 47. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he orders that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure for us it seems slightly odd. Well, why would they even question baptizing them? But they weren't Jews in Cornelius' household. This was a big deal for them. They were Gentiles. They weren't part of what they thought was God's people. This was a change, a big change for the early church. And Peter knew there would be opposition because of that. But I think this verse raises a big issue for us in the church today. Do we get in the way of God working? Do we stop God working today? Sometimes we think we're being helpful, but actually we put ourselves in between that person and God. It's so easy to do, isn't it? I mean, take just the church service, for example. Somebody new might come in, and trying to be helpful, you spend time talking with them, but actually the worship's already started. Or you think, do you know what, the sermon actually is a bit boring. I'm not sure this is going to speak to them. So you start up a conversation. I think this is where we take great encouragement as preachers from today's passage, because when Peter was speaking, it wasn't the words that he was saying that transformed them. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that worked in them while he was still speaking. I always remember someone telling me once, I can't remember who it was, but I remember that they said that the job of a good worship leader is to lead people into worshipping God and then get out of the way. Too often we get in the way. It's in Christ alone that we are baptized into his body. Not Andy Morgan. Not Archbishop Justin Welby. Not Joyce Mayer or Jay John or whoever else you kind of think they're an amazing preacher. No. I'm sure they would all agree. It is just Christ who works through them. And the power of the Holy Spirit when they speak. See, our job is just to simply point people in the right direction and then get out of the way. See, it's not that we don't care about what is happening in their lives. It's not that we don't care whatever troubles they're going through. But it's the opposite. It's precisely because we do care. We care so much that we know the only solution is Jesus Christ. There is no other solution. I can't transform anything in your lives. I couldn't transform anything in my own life. I tried, and it just got worse. It's only Jesus Christ who transforms. Again, remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned the story of Mary and Martha. Martha so busy rushing around whilst Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And what is it that Jesus said to Martha? He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. We spend so much time today worrying about so many things, getting upset about so many things, even in church. And we forget that actually only one thing is needed, Jesus Christ. See, it's in Christ alone that we are. Yes, you know, things happen and we struggle to see how God is in it. But we need to trust God then, because he is faithful. What did Dave just share with us? We've been meeting as a leadership team recently, Everton and Jeanette and Claire and myself and Iris and Dave, the church wardens. And all of us independently have been feeling a sense of excitement at the moment, because we really believe God wants to do something here in this church. And we know that that church weekend is going to be a really big part of that, spending time together, getting to know each other. But it will only happen if we stay in Christ alone, together as one body. So what I want us to do now is to just declare these three basic truths together, if that's okay. We are witnesses. We are transformed. We are in Christ alone. Can you say that? We are witnesses. We are transformed. We are in Christ alone. You see, when we recognize that it is in Christ alone that we can live our life, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and transform our heart, then we can do nothing but be witnesses of God the Father's amazing love for us. At the start of Isaiah's ministry, in chapter 6, it says this, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. On that day back in 2000, when I reached out and touched that church, God changed my life. From that moment on, because of what God had done for me, I always try to say, Lord, what can I do for you? Here I am, send me. And when I do it, it's not for me, it's for God. It's for His glory. And so I want to invite you today, whether you are a new Christian, an old Christian, or whether you wouldn't even say you're a Christian yet, it doesn't matter. Reach out. God is calling you. God has a plan for you. So build your life on Christ alone, nothing else. Because everything else is just sinking sand. It will collapse. Don't be fooled. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and transform you from the inside out. And then go out of here to live your lives of worship to God as witnesses to His amazing love. I love that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And that first verse ends. It says, Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.